I want to ask you to please take your Bibles, whether they be the old-fashioned paper Bible or the newfangled digital Bible on your phone. Please take it, and if you would please open up to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Those who are regular part of our congregation have gone through Ephesians 5 numerous times now. I'm going to read it again. Ephesians chapter 5, and we're going to concentrate our energies on verse 20 and other assorted scriptures, but primarily verse 20 here this morning. So let's get the context. The Apostle Paul is moved by the Spirit of God, and he writes these words, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not associate with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.' Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, as we look into the Word of God, we once again recognize we're on holy ground. And so we come with humility, and we also recognize our ignorance, and we ask that the Spirit of God would be gracious to open up our minds, make our hearts teachable, help us to not only see the truth of God, but we pray, Holy Spirit, that you'll give us a desire to be doers of the truth, and we pray that through your power, Spirit of God, we will put your word into practice. We pray toward this end through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When I was a very young lad, and I mean very, very young lad, I recall my mother repeating a question to me over and over and over again. She must have asked me this question hundreds of times as I was growing up. And her question to me was this. She would say to me, "What are the magic words? What are the magic words?" That question always came in the same context. I wanted something. Perhaps I was demanding something. And she would say to me, "What are the magic words?" Now, I wonder how many here this morning know what the magic words are. The magic words. Anybody know what they are? Right? I wanted something. I demanded it. And she, what are magic words? And the magic words were please and thank you. And so I'd say, please, would you give me this? Or please, would you give me that? And she would give it to me, and then she'd follow up and say, okay, and now what do you say? And of course, the response properly is, thank you. The magic words, please and thank you. Why did my mother inculcate this in my young skull full of mush? She was trying to quell, to tame my inherent selfishness, my insolent demand. She was attempting to plant within me her young son an attitude of gratitude. She was seeking to teach me manners, basic courtesy, politeness. I found her instructions to have been invaluable as I've grown over the years, and though I may fail, I do try to show my appreciation to others for what they've done for me, what they've done for my family, what they've done for the ministry here. Shakespeare states in King Lear, and I quote, "In gratitude, thou marble-hearted fiend, how sharper than a serpent's tooth is it to have a thankless child." If that is what is expected of us in the world of men, that we have a thankful heart, an appreciation for what people do for us, if that is expected in this world of men, how much more should we, as God's people, express a humble appreciation to our loving Heavenly Father for all His gifts and benefits to us? Over the past several Lord's Day mornings, we have been looking at the command that the Apostle Paul gives to us in Ephesians 5:18. Let me ask you to look there afresh. Paul tells us not to be drunk with wine, for that leads to reckless and careless living. He says, rather, you are to be filled with the Spirit. And we've noted that the verb be filled in the Greek, the idea is there is that we are to be under the control. We are to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. We're not to be under the control and influence of alcohol, but we are to be under the control and the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. And that's the main idea, as Paul says here, be filled with the Spirit. As God's people, we have to beware, trying to be obedient to our God in our own flesh, in our own strength. If we try to be obedient to the will of God, the Word of God, as He gives it to us here in our Bibles, in our own steam, in our own strength, it's going to lead us to two conclusions, one of absolute hopelessness and despair. That's on the one hand. The other hand is we become self-righteous. Look at what I've accomplished. Aren't I a great person? So we need to depend upon the Holy Spirit of God if we're going to be truly obedient to our God. And just as we need the Holy Spirit to give us a new heart before we can truly repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, so once we become real believers in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, we need to learn to rely upon the Holy Spirit's power so that we might behave, conduct ourselves as God calls us to live our lives in this world. So the first question I have for you this morning is, have you been born again? Have you been born of the Holy Spirit of God? Has God given you new life in your spiritually deadened soul? If not, then I encourage you to humbly request the Spirit of God, please give me that new heart that I need. Give me that new life that I might truly believe on the Son of God and be reconciled to you. Once the Holy Spirit has imparted that new life to our soul, well, we're called here to be filled with the Spirit. The idea is control, and also in the Greek we know that verb be filled is present continuous tense. It's not a plateau that we arrive at, but we're to constantly be being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, remember that we are baptized in, with, or by the Holy Spirit once and for all time. That's akin to the new birth or regeneration. You don't seek after being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's something that God gives us in regeneration. It's a once and for all experience common to every believer, true believer in the Lord Jesus. And we also know that when we repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to indwell the believer. The Holy Spirit lives in every born-again child of God. Our body is the temple of the living God. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit of God. And the Holy Spirit seals us when He comes to indwell us. Again, that's once and for all time. But that's not the case with being filled with the Spirit. We are to constantly be being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And so I ask you, dear Christian, are you surrendering yourself to the Holy Spirit of God? Are you yielding yourself consciously and deliberately to the Holy Spirit of God? I asked that question last week, and I asked those of you who were here last week, throughout this week, were you doing that? Saying, Holy Spirit, I'm powerless. Holy Spirit, I'm unable to do the things that are required of me in the Word of God. So I need to be dependent upon You, and I'm asking You to fill me. I want to live under Your control and influence so I can be a doer of the Word and not just a mere hearer. Through this past week, have you asked the Holy Spirit, please, Spirit of God, keep me in the Word of God and get the Word of God in me. And Holy Spirit, help me to understand the Word of God. Are you asking the Spirit of God to make manifest in your life the fruit of the Holy Spirit, as it's listed there in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to help you to resist temptation? Are you asking the Spirit of God to cause you to walk uprightly? Are you asking the Holy Spirit to use the Holy Word of God to produce true holiness of character in your life? That's why God has given us His Holy Spirit. We need to learn to appreciate the Spirit of God and depend upon the Spirit of God. When you woke up this morning, did you say, thank You, Lord, for giving me a new day, and I pray now that through Your Holy Spirit You'll guide me through this Lord's Day, make this the best Lord's Day that I've ever lived? Help me to truly worship You, Father, according to Your Spirit, as I should, as I gather with the saints for worship. Are you praying even now, Holy Spirit, help me to be attentive and receptive to the Word of God as it's preached from the pulpit? The Holy Spirit has been given to us. And how often do we ask the Holy Spirit to make us truly thankful people? Are our lives characterized by thankful hearts? So we've seen evidences of what a Spirit-filled Christian's life looks like as we've looked at the verses that immediately follow this command to be filled by or with the Holy Spirit. You recall in verse 19, Paul says, speak among yourselves, address one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And what he means by that is we need to know the content of God's holy songbook, and that would be the book of Psalms. We need to spend time in the book of Psalms and learn the truth that's found there. And also in the great hymns of the faith that are so doctrinally sound that speak to us about the character of God and about the redemption that is ours in Christ. We need to know the content of these things. Why? So that we, as part of God's community, can be encouraging one another, building one another up with this truth. A Spirit-filled Christian has real concern and love for his brothers and sisters in Christ and wants to minister to them according to the Word of God. That's the first evidence. And the second one we see at the latter part of verse 19, and that is that we are to be singing and making melody to the Lord with our heart. That's focusing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we go through the day, we're singing songs of praise to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. That's an evidence of the Holy Spirit filling you. For you recall the Holy Spirit has been given to us that we might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And this morning we look at the third evidence that follows the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's in verse 20. And there you see, the Apostle Paul tells us that we are to be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at verse 20, the Apostle Paul wants us to see the object of our thankfulness, or the focus, if you will, of our thankfulness, the frequency of our thanksgiving, and the grounds for our thanksgiving. So let's consider those aspects of this particular verse here in the time that we have this morning. It makes sense for us to start with the object or the focus for our gratitude, right? As we look at verse 20, giving thanks always and for everything to who? Toward whom? And that would be God the Father. Interesting that the Apostle Paul doesn't just use the word God, but he refers to God as the Father. It should be the natural inclination of all people everywhere to constantly be giving praise and thanks to God Almighty. He's the Creator. He's the sustainer of our lives. He's the one who provides us with everything that we need. That should be the natural inclination of all people's hearts. But we know it's not the case, is it? Paul calls God the Father here. That's a pretty interesting title that Paul attributes to God. So are you a child of God? You ask people that in the course of a week. You come across, are you a child of God? People look at you, talking about it. Most people think that everybody in the whole world is a child of God. Now, yes, we're all the created offspring of God, but we're not children of God in a redemptive sense. We need to be adopted into God's family. That's what the Bible teaches. We're not the children of God simply because we're human beings. Yeah, it's true. We're created in the image and likeness of God. But remember in Genesis chapter 3, that image and likeness was tarnished and shattered because of sin's entrance into this world. We respect all human beings because they're created in the image and likeness of God. But that doesn't mean all people are the children of God in a redemptive sense. In John chapter 1, that's the Gospel of John chapter 1, we read about the Lord Jesus. He came as a Jew unto the Jews. He came unto his own, but his own didn't receive him. But the passage goes on in verse 12 of John chapter 1. But to all who did receive him, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who believed in his name, he gave the right, that is to say, the power or the authority to become what? Children of God. You got to become a child of God. And you only become a child of God through the new birth. Verse 13. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God. And the Apostle Paul says in the book of Galatians, in the third chapter, for in Christ Jesus, you are all the sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ. No one has the God-given right or authority to call himself a child of God if Jesus Christ is not his or her Lord and Savior. To think of oneself as a child of God apart from faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is pure presumption and a demonstration of biblical ignorance. And certainly we can't be filled with the Holy Spirit and express the kind of gratitude that Paul calls us to if we're not born again by the Holy Spirit of God. Now, notice that our gratitude is to be expressed to God the Father, and Paul says it's to be done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see the word name used in this fashion, it's talking about all that Jesus is, all that he represents. It represents all that he's done. We understand that we can't come to God apart from the Son of God, Jesus Christ. He is the mediator, as Paul says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5. There's only one mediator between God and fallen men. That's the man, Christ Jesus. So we need to trust in him, and with his righteousness imputed to us by faith and faith alone, we have access to the Father. Now please look at this as you just scan verse 18 down through verse 20, you see that this is a wonderful Trinitarian passage. We read about the need for us as God's people to be constantly filled with the Holy Spirit of God, the Spirit. And then we read in verse 19, we are to be singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. And as we look at the context, we see that's a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we get to verse 20. We are to be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the Father mentioned, we have the Son of God mentioned, and we have the Holy Spirit of God mentioned. Our redemption, it depends completely upon our triune God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They all have a part in the redemption of our souls. And so we need to recognize how important that is. Are you giving thanks to God the Father always and for everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? That is what is to be expressed by our lives. Now you understand that while we're baptized in the Holy Spirit once and for all, while we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit and sealed by the Holy Spirit once and for all, I can't say I'm every single moment of my life filled with the Holy Spirit. When I'm not expressing gratitude to God the Father through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, at that moment I'm distracted. I may be involved in sin, and that sin needs to be repented of and confessed. But our goal is to become more and more dependent on the Holy Spirit and become more and more Spirit-filled and hence express a concern for one another, express our praise to our Lord Jesus, and thanksgiving to God our Father. You can judge how Spirit-filled you are by looking at the thankfulness that is expressed by you to your Father in heaven through our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. We should be desirous to be characterized by thankfulness, gratitude, and appreciation. And if our lives aren't characterized by that, then there's something wrong. And we need to examine ourselves in light of the Word of God. Thanklessness to God is a prime characteristic of unbelief. Let me read you what Paul says in Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. Romans 1:21. He says, although they knew God, all people know God exists. Even the most ardent atheist knows there's a creator. He just wants to numb himself to that fact because he doesn't want to deal with the reality that there is a God, a personal God, and he's personally accountable to that God. So he thinks his best way out of this is to say there is no God. But all people know that there's a God. Paul states that, Romans 1:21. Although they knew God, they didn't honor him as God or give thanks to him. But they became futile or vain in their thinking, and their foolish hearts were darkened. The Apostle Paul gives us a list of attitudes and actions that are to be an evidence of the fact that we're in the last days. And this is what he says in 2 Timothy in the 4th chapter. I'm only reading the opening couple verses, but the list will go on beyond what I read. Paul says to his son in the faith, Timothy, but understand this, Timothy, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, and as I stated, the list goes on, but ungrateful. It's a characteristic of an unbelieving heart, a heart that's not aware of who God is and what a great blesser He is, especially to His people. So our thanks should be directed to God our Father. He is the object of focus of our gratitude, and we offer this gratitude up to our Heavenly Father through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. But Paul goes on and he talks about the frequency that this thankfulness should be expressed to God. If you look at verse 20, we are to be giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The Greek word for always is pantote, and it means always, at all times, on every occasion. Constantly expressing thanksgiving and gratitude to our God. There should not be a time in the life of us as God's people where we're not giving thanks to our God. But are we? Of course, you say, I'm not thanking God as much as I should. And I have to say that along with you. And I pray, Lord God, I want to be more aware of who you are and what you've done for me. You know, it's easier for us to give thanks to God when things are going well, when we see that we're receiving material blessings, when the path is smooth before us. But what happens when things aren't going the way you perceive they should be going? We tend to grumble and moan and complain, do we not? Huh? Well, if you ever begin to question God's concern or interest in you, what's the best thing you can do? Is to remember the cross, to remember what grace is, to remember that God owes you nothing except his judgment and his wrath. I don't know if we've come to terms with that. I never really began to understand what grace is until I understood that I was a sinner. And the only thing I've merited in the eyes of a holy God is his judgment. The only thing I've ever merited before God is the hottest part of the lake of fire. And once I realized that, I began to see that everything else is by grace. God has blessed me so profoundly, so incredibly. If you start to question God's love or interest or concern for you, just think about the cross. The Lord Jesus got what we deserve as his people when he went to the cross. I deserve the wrath of God, but the Lord Jesus took my sin upon himself at that cross, and he was judged in my place. The holy, righteous wrath of his Father was poured out upon him at the cross of Calvary. Why? So that I could be made the righteousness of God in Christ. You know, you think back to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. What an amazing, powerful verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. If you're ever feeling sorry for yourself or feel like God's not really doing you justice, then go back and read the first three chapters of the book of Ephesians. Because Paul says God has blessed his people with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms in Christ. And then he enumerates those blessings for us in these opening three chapters. And when you get to chapters 4, 5, and 6, Paul is saying, in light of the great blessings that God has given to you, out of a heart of gratitude and thankfulness, this then is how you should live your life. Praise God for what he's done for you, and now live this life out for his glory and praise. So a thankful heart is the best way to express our appreciation, our acknowledgement of what God has done for us, and to bring glory to God. So we need to remind ourselves how blessed we are. We need to remind ourselves of the facts of all that the Father has done for us in Christ. But you know, there's another level, remembering what God has already done for us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can also be thankful to God in anticipation. If you're going through a hard time, a difficult time, we know that God is never going to leave us. He's never going to forsake us. That he's got a plan and a purpose in this difficult time that we're facing, that we're experiencing. The Lord Jesus, when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, that was a sad situation. We have the shortest verse in the Bible there in John chapter 11, verse 35. Jesus wept. He's looking at the consequences of sin and how it brings death and sorrow into this world. And the Lord Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, right? He's going to back up his words. He said, I'm the resurrection and the life. He's going to prove it. by raising Lazarus from the dead after his body was deteriorating for 4 days. And so he said to those who were there, take away the stone. And then what happened, John 11:41, Jesus lifted up his eyes and he says, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. Before he calls Lazarus out of the tomb, he turns his eyes to heaven and he thanks his heavenly Father. And he added this, I know that you always hear me, but I said this on account of the people standing around that they may believe that you sent me. The Lord Jesus had the confidence that since his prayers were in line with the will of his Father, the Father would answer those prayers. And so he thanked the Lord in advance. Total confidence that the Father would do what he requested. Well, Jesus had perfect requests and perfect prayers. I don't. But we can think about Jonah. Remember Jonah in chapter 1. He's fleeing from the Lord because he doesn't want to do that which God called him to do. He's going in the opposite direction. He's supposed to go and preach to the Ninevites and call them to repentance. And the Lord had a place for him, didn't he? Huh? Right? He's thrown over the side of the ship. And the Lord has prepared a fish, swallow him up, a great fish. And it says in Jonah 2:1, Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish. And you go down to verse 9, at the end of his prayer, he says, but I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you what I have vowed I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. A precarious situation. He doesn't know what's going to happen. He knows he's in the belly of a great fish, but he offers up his prayer of thanksgiving in the midst of this very strange situation, and then he's spewed forth, and he ends up going to do what the Lord called him to do. We looked in 2 Chronicles and the 20th chapter there, and we see what a situation Jehoshaphat was in, how he was being approached by enemy armies, and he and the people acknowledged their powerlessness. They humble themselves before God. They hear the word of God spoken to them by the prophet, and they express faith in the word of God, the revealed word of God, and then we see that Jehoshaphat sends the Levitical singers before the army, and they express gratitude. Give thanks to the Lord, they sing, for his steadfast love endures forever. Again, I remind you in verse 22, when they, these Levitical singers, began to sing and praise, the Lord set an ambush against the men of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir who had come against Judah so that they were routed. Men began to fight with one another, and the Lord brought victory to his people. We need to express gratitude when things are going wonderfully well. We need to express gratitude as we're going through difficult times in anticipation that the Lord's got something else for us on the other side of this trial and this temptation. And certainly through this trial and temptation, the Lord desires to teach us to trust him and to rely upon him. Perhaps you recall when Daniel was serving there. He served under Nebuchadnezzar, and then Nebuchadnezzar would die and his son or grandson would take his place. And we're told in Daniel chapter 6, he was exalted or ascended to being one of the three presidents under Darius the Mede. And the leaders under Daniel were jealous of Daniel's position, no doubt anti-Semitic in their thoughts that he is a Jew, part of this exile that came upon the Jews because of their disobedience. He was sent to Babylon. They set a trap for Daniel. And in Daniel chapter 6-7, they concocted this plan to railroad Daniel. And they went to the king and they said, King, there should be a period of time where nobody is allowed to worship any other god but worship you for a period of 30 days. We see that in Daniel 6-7. The king agreed that the ordinance and the injunction should be set in place, that whoever makes a petition to any god or man for 30 days except the king should be cast into the den of lions. Daniel knew full well what was going on. And what did he do? We're told that he went back to his apartment. He knew that the document had been signed. He went to his house where he had windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and he prayed and he thanked. He thanked. He gave thanks before his God as he had previously done. He wasn't intimidated by this injunction, but he gave thanks to his God as was his plan and purpose every day. And because he's offering up thanksgiving to God, it didn't mean that life was easy for him, but it landed him in the lion's den. But the Lord was there with him, and the Lord protected him, and the Lord saw him through that situation. We're told that we are to be giving thanks all the time, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the situation, no matter how hard, no matter how easy, no matter how we perceive it. We should be giving thanks to our God. That's an evidence of being a spirit-filled Christian. And then we ask thirdly here, what's the grounds of spirit-filled gratitude? What's the grounds? Well, Paul says everything. Everything should be the ground for thanksgiving. We are to be thanking God for everything, thanking Him for the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ, and we should be thanking Him for the material blessings that He has graciously given to us. We should be thanking Him for mundane blessings and for extraordinary blessings. We should be thanking Him for the blessings He's given to us in the past, the blessings that are ours right now, and the blessings that are to come to us. We are to be thanking Him for the mountaintop experiences we have and for those valleys that we pass through. And you know, when the Apostle Paul exhorts the church here to be giving thanks always and for everything, it's good for us to recognize where Paul was when he wrote these words. You know where he was. He's a prisoner. This is one of the prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. These are letters that are written when Paul was incarcerated in Rome. He couldn't come and go as he pleased, and yet he is exhorting the saints to be thankful to God the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not the first time in this letter that he talks about being thankful. If you look in chapter 1, he says, "I don't cease giving thanks for you." He's praising God for his brothers and sisters in Christ. And he says in 1:16, "Not only do I give thanks for you, but I'm constantly remembering you in my prayers." Paul's not having a pity party. He thanks God for the salvation the Lord Jesus gave him and for the ministry the Lord Jesus gave him. And he's thanking God for the fruit of the ministry, these believers in Ephesus. And then we saw also in chapter 5, as we read earlier, in verse 4, "Let there be no filthiness, nor foolish talk, nor crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be" what? Thanksgiving. Offering up praise and thanksgiving to our God. You can see the same in Philippians, and I'll tell you, you go through Colossians in verse 3 of chapter 1, in verse 12 of chapter 1, in chapter 2, in verse 7, we're taught, Paul says, to be abounding in thanksgiving. In chapter 3, verse 15, be thankful. In verse 16, we should be singing psalms and hymns and hymns with spiritual songs with thanksgiving in your heart to God. In verse 17 of chapter 3 of Colossians, giving thanks to God the Father through the Lord Jesus. Chapter 4, in verse 2, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Every chapter of the book of Colossians, 4 chapters, thanksgiving is mentioned. It's the evidence of a spirit-filled Christian. Do we have thankful hearts to our God? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18, "Rejoice all the time, pray constantly, and in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Paul, what's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you? Well, that you rejoice all the time, that you pray constantly without ceasing, and that You give thanks in all circumstances. That's the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Are our lives characterized by joy? Are they characterized by a prayerful attitude to our God? Are they characterized by giving thanks to God in each and every circumstance that we find ourselves? No matter what's going on, we can give thanks because we know Romans 8:28, right? And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. And what's God's purpose? To bring Himself glory through me? And to make me more like His Son. To sanctify us and conform us to the image of His Son. You know something, folks, I have to be honest. If I do something for somebody, I'm appreciative when they say thankful to me. Right? And I'm sure you're the same way. If you do something for someone, you enjoy someone expressing gratitude toward you. Well, the Lord loves to hear us, His people, express gratitude to Him. I should be thankful to you all the time when you do something for me, because I realize that God's not only the primary cause, but He uses secondary causes to bless me. I thank you because He's blessed you to bless me. May we truly be spiritual believers, and may that be evident by our thankful hearts to God our Father through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this time in your holy word and for this instruction we have about the meaning of being filled with the Spirit and these evidences that issue forth from us, your people, as we're controlled and under the influence of the Holy Spirit of God. Father, we confess our sins to you, that we aren't as thankful as we ought to be. And we ask, Father, that we'll learn to become more and more dependent upon your Holy Spirit, that we might more and more show hearts that are grateful and appreciative and thankful to you for who you are and for all that you do for us through your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We pray in His holy name. Amen.